Well, that it's doing that, but there's something that narrows it down a little more. There's one thing that you should be doing when all else fails. Pray. And people say, that? You want me to pray? You think that that's going to be the answer? When most guys say, no, give me something to do with my hands and I'll fix it, I'll make it right. Or the woman, the same thing. Instead of just praying and asking God, God, could you change this? Because you cannot change your spouse. I'm telling you, if you try to change them, whoever they are, man or woman, they will resist. That's just the nature that they have. Devote yourselves to prayer, Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, being watchful and thankful. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer without anger or disputing. Ephesians 6, 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So that's the number one thing that you want to do. And if you want your marriage to be great, you have to be great. In order for you to be great, what's the prescription? You said it earlier. The servant of all. You start serving your spouse as much as you can. I know sometimes it's difficult. Maybe there's physical infirmities or, you know, something else is going on. I understand that. But you're supposed to serve your spouse. And that talks about the husband. It's like the man says, I'm the king of the household. Well, you may be the king, but we know who rules around here. You know, it may be the wife. You shouldn't have any of that hierarchical stuff going on. The man's responsible for final decisions to be made, but he relies on the counsel of his wife, and he is supposed to be her servant, and she is supposed to serve him as well. There's no distinction in that particular command. And it's an act of lowering yourself. The servant, especially the one who washed the feet, was the lowest servant in the household, and Jesus did that when he was being betrayed. He girded himself up, he took a bowl of water, and he washed his feet. Got it. And he washed the feet of the disciples. And he showed himself to be the lowliest of servants. And we are supposed to do that as well. But a lowering of yourself means you're taking your pride and you're tearing it down. Pride is the biggest problem that we will encounter as human beings. That was the original sin of Satan, was pride. He was lifted up, thought he was better than he actually was. And it led to the downfall of one-third of heaven. That pride doesn't just affect you, but it affects all who are around you. Pride gives rise to conflict. Wounded pride ensures the continued existence of conflict. If you go in and you wound your spouse in the midst of their pride, it can lead to bitterness. And that bitterness, it is hard to take out a root of bitterness. And if you stay silent long enough, if you don't communicate long enough, if you withhold the physical relationship long enough, if you are nagging long enough, you will have this root of bitterness. And how do you get that out? There's only one way. It's by prayer. By humbling yourself before God, asking Him to help you with that. So, serve your spouse. Thirdly, forgive quickly and often. If you forgive men their sins, or when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins. Matthew 6:14. I've seen this happen where somebody will ask for forgiveness of sins, and the person that they request the forgiveness from, they pause. They don't immediately extend it. There's the other side too. Before the person finishes saying, will you forgive? Yeah, I forgive you. You know, it's like, let the person say what they need to say and then extend forgiveness. As soon as it's requested, you have to give it. Does that mean you're going to feel better? No. You're going to still feel violated in some way. But you're supposed to act like the offense never took place. And once the act goes, the heart will follow after that. Also, consider your spouse better than yourself. I already talked about this. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. If you can memorize it, that'd be great. This one I'm just adding in there because it's not a specific verse, but you have to communicate. You have to talk. And not yelling, not quipping, not being terse or curt with each other. When one of you has something to say, you need to stop. You need to listen. I've mentioned before that we don't have to do it so much anymore, but when the kids were smaller, we would go sit on the couch, and almost every day we would talk for 15 to 30 minutes about the household, about the business, about life, about our friends. We would just debrief almost every single day. We would talk about everything, and not in a way that was contentious. We were just informing each other. We were keeping each other up to date. We were having a relationship. And so you have to communicate, and you have to communicate in a Bible-centered manner. You want to forget the past. Where does it say that love does not keep track of wrongs committed against it? 1 Corinthians 13, that's the responsibility side of love. How about if you say, and we learned this early in our trips to couples retreats, you may not say, you always, or you never. Those two things, it's not true. We know it's not true, even though it may happen often. It's not true all the time. And so you shouldn't communicate in that way. You never pick up after yourself. That's not true. And you get into this argument, it just starts taking off. So you got to learn to communicate correctly and forget about the past. You have to be more affectionate. Normally, excuse me, that's one of the first things to go, is the touch, right? Just touching. When I get up in the morning, if Patty is standing in front of the mirror, you know, if I come, we have two sinks in the master bath, and she's usually at the first one. If I walk by, I just touch her. I don't say anything. I just walk by, and I'll just touch her. And that's all that I do. It's like, okay, we're here. And when I'm sitting down, we've had this thing lately since I've had this cough and stuff. Yeah, I haven't wanted to kiss her because I don't want her to get sick. And a couple of nights, you know, I'd take some cough syrup and I'd just turn over. And she'd either say something or stick her head up and say, "You didn't kiss me goodnight." And I would say, "Yep." And I think there's one or two nights that I didn't. I was just like already in the zone with the cough syrup and everything. So the next morning, I got up, at least one of these times, I got up. And the first thing I did was make a beeline for her cheek, you know, and then I reminded her of it, 10 minutes later? I said, "I kissed you first thing this morning." She goes, "I know. I know." And so you have to do the touching thing. If you get away from the touching thing, you become roommates. You become brother and sister. You become college dorm buddies. And that's not what you're supposed to do as a husband and wife. You're supposed to have a good relationship. You want to live simply. You know, when Les was talking about the money thing, that will remove that one big problem from your life if you just simply live simply. Live without expectation. Hang out with other couples as much as is possible with whom you like to fashion your relationship after. Not everybody can do that with everybody. I understand that. But you want to start hanging out with people that you see their marriage. We used to know this couple, a couple of couples that we've known in the past. And her name was Sandy. And Patty would say, "Well, what would Sandy do? You know, what would she do?" And I'd say the same thing about the husband. What would he do in this situation? And I would reflect on what these couples, when we were young couples, we would reflect on what they would do. And, you know, it has helped us tremendously to do that. Well, you always want to be positive and encouraging around your spouse. What scripture would tell you to do that? I know you guys know it. Who said that? Absolutely correct. In our premarital counseling with you guys, I made you memorize that, didn't I? And what's the other one as far as if you think that your husband or your wife is being a slacker, what are you supposed to do with that? What verse would guide you on that? I say it so many times, I just try to drill it. Yeah, that one too, that's coming up. There's another one, you know it, Philippians 4:8. Right? You look at your spouse and you say, "Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. In contrast to, if anything is ugly and despicable and lazy and slothful and unedifying, you don't want to look at your spouse and think like that. You know, what a slacker you are. You know, when they come into the house, if the husband comes into the house, oh, the slacker's home. Great. You know, if you're thinking that, you are asking for problems. It's just going to lead to the demise of the quality of your relationship. And that has to do with watching your speech. James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. I'm not going to read the whole thing to you. It just simply talks about the power of the tongue. Excuse me, how the power of the tongue is like a rudder on a big ship. In comparison, how big is the rudder to the ship? It's small. It's a small member, and it can turn the whole ship. You can turn the whole course of your life by a single word that you speak. When I was teaching James, and I've done this a couple of times, I bring in this letter. And I read this letter to my mom and dad. And it starts out something along the lines of, "Hi, Mom and Dad. Things are going well here at college, but I need to write you and let you know I've dropped all my classes. I just met this guy, Tony, and he's a really nice guy. But, you know, I moved in with him since I wasn't going to school anymore, and he's helped supporting me. And don't worry about it. He is a nice guy, and we're getting along really well. He's looking for a job. He's been working on his motorcycle a lot, but we don't have anywhere to park it, and so it's kind of rusty outside because of all the winter weather. But things are going to go okay. We had to go down to the food bank and pick up some food for a while, but we're getting by. And, you know, I hope you're well. I just wanted to write you and let you know that I'm okay." She signs it her name, Janet, down at the bottom. Then P.S. "Everything I wrote you is not true. I just wanted to say hi, and could you send me some money? Love, Janet." And when the actual context of the letter, when you're reading it, and the way that I have presented it in the past, I just tell people, this is a sad, true story. And it's not true. It's been made up. But people, their heart starts breaking. And by the way, she's pregnant. You know, that's what it says in the... And we're thinking about an abortion, but we're not sure if we're going to keep the baby. And it goes on and on like that. And so when you read that, you just take the heart of the people and you're just whipping it around by what you're saying. And at the end, you say, "Not really. Ha ha. It's just a joke. I just need some money. Could you send me some money?" And then the people, they get angry when you read that letter at the bottom. "What, you did that to my heart? How dare you do something like that?" Well, you have the ability with your mouth to praise your spouse or to tear them down. If you walk into your house, like I'll walk into my house, and it may be a while, or we're getting ready to go out somewhere, and I look at Patty, and let me ask you, I'm curious. Do you ladies sometimes change your clothes a couple of times? It's like after you just put them on? Because it's not working? Okay, I have a tendency, most of the time I just say, "No, it looks good. But every once in a while, I'll come, and she can verify this if I do or not, but I'll say, "You look gorgeous," like that. She goes, "Oh, stop it," you know? And I'll say stuff like that. Like I was talking to you guys about the pickup lines. Did you hear Mario used one?
And it worked.
No, he did.
Yes. He did. Remember I said, "Mario, you can use this one"? He used it. I'm sure he wouldn't mind me telling, because he brought it up in home fellowship, and I said, "You sure you want to talk about this?" He goes, "Yes, I want." Or excuse me, youth group. He goes, "Yes, I want to talk about this." And he saw this girl at school, and he said, he walked up to her and said, "Do you have a quarter?" And she goes, "Why?" And he goes, "I need to call my mom and tell her that I met the woman of my dreams." I said, "You what?" He goes, "Yeah, I actually used that." And then I said, "Well, what did she do?" And I
you know, kind of have this picture in my mind. He goes, well, she kind of raised her shoulder like this and kind of giggled and like that. And she was real cutesy type of thing. And it's like, he's asking me now, well, should I really go out with her? You know, I'm thinking I like her, but I don't know if she wants to come to church. And so he's asking counsel. I go, you use that pickup line. You know, and you're supposed to be sending stuff like that. It made, and the way he described her reacting, it was just, I wish I could have had a video of it. And so you have the power with your words to encourage your spouse. That's the most powerful thing that you have, or somebody that you'd like to be your spouse. Just the words of encouragement. Now, I've come to the end of this. How do you get your spouse to do what you want? It's really a change in you that brings about the change in your spouse. Even the women are taught to be an example in the scriptures that they might win over their unbelieving husbands by the way that they act. The husbands can do the same thing. If the husband is sacrificial to his wife, the wife will love the husband. If you break from that and you try to figure it out your own way, there's going to be animosity and bickering and fighting. And we have that anyhow because we're fallen. If you'd like your marriage to be great, learn to communicate, learn to love the way that Christ said. Now, do you guys have any questions? You guys are experts then, right? Question. Why is this only 4 weeks? Who did? Oh.
Yeah, okay, but that was just like a funny one. But seriously, if you said this is only just scratching the surface,
it is
only 4 or 5 weeks. Because any longer it's stuff that you can't listen to.
No, there's so many different instances that come up. Normally if you go to a married couples retreat, they will put you in a room and you go over these different workshops and different subjects. And once you hit these different subjects, you get the opportunity to ask questions. And normally when the questions start arising, it turns into a role where somebody will ask a question on top of a question that was asked. And, well, what about this and what about that? And then you're able to go back to the scripture and you're able to say what the scripture says. The only thing that I can do here is give you an outline. If you're a good disciple, you'll be a good spouse. Because a disciple is what Christ called us to be first and foremost. And that applies to every area of your life, whether it's with your spouse or a future spouse, a boyfriend, an acquaintance, somebody at work, whoever it is. And so that's why if you're not working at being a disciple, you're really not going to be successful in relationship. It's not going to go well or as well as it should. Blankets and basket at back of church. They're back there. No, it's not.
Way to tell us that on the last night.
I think I did answer this one. How can you discern whether God wants you to be married? I did answer that one. And that is, if you don't have the gift of celibacy, he wants you to be married. Will you have the opportunity all the time? You know, I don't know how God works and why people don't get married who want to get married because the person isn't there. Where are they? And God teaches patience. And sometimes are the dreams not fulfilled? Yes. Even if I gave you everything I gave you tonight and you walk away, will your spouse start to be submissive to God and do those things that are godly? Maybe. They may not. God will not interfere with their will. The only way that you have a hope of changing them is to doing it God's way. And that, again, is being a good disciple. How is this supposed to work if she doesn't do what I say? I think I answered that one. How can I get my spouse interested in God? What was the first thing I gave you? Pray. That's the only way. You can't force the gospel down on somebody. They won't respond. You just start praying. And maybe God wants you to do a lot of that, you know, where you're just praying for that individual. And same thing, well, how come my spouse isn't here, my future spouse? pray. Well, how come some people get that prayer answered like right away? I got it answered right away. I can't answer that. I don't know. I wish, you know, we could just wave a magic wand and have all hardship just go away. But we can't. Each of us have our own trials to bear. This question. Basically, it's saying, I know my wife loves me, but our sex life is terrible. We've talked about it, but she doesn't want to continue talking about it. Not happy, but nothing changes. What do you do? You know, it's one of those questions that, how do you solve that? You do everything that I said tonight. These are not my words. I'm just telling you what Scripture says. And you try to be as good of a spouse, whether it's a wife or a husband, as you can possibly be, where your focus is on your spouse. Let me back up. I still have three people I have to deal with, right? Oh, no, I gave it away. Yeah. I gave it away. Never mind. But I'll ask you anyhow. In Scripture, I lost my train of thought. In Scripture, when it talks about the husband and wife and how they're supposed to interact with each other, it tells the wife specifically what she is supposed to do to win her spouse. How does she do that? Well, it could be in several of the passages that we've dealt with, but ladies, if you had a woman that was unsubmissive to her husband, and she's mad at him, and the husband is mad at her, what would you tell her from Scripture to do?
Submit.
Okay, submit. But how?
Proverbs 31.
You know what, and I know it may be going to an extreme for some, but what if, ladies, if your husband wasn't doing what he was supposed to, he sits down in his chair and he takes this, and you walk up and you take off his shoes, and you pull off his socks, and you go, and you say, can I get you something to drink? And would he be shocked? If that happened, you bet. Well, what if the husband did that? At the end of the night or something, kids are down, or maybe the kids or the grandkids are done, and the husband walks up and sits down and grabs her foot. Ladies, don't go, what are you doing? Don't go. Just let him grab your foot, massage the foot. I can tell you, you know, I'm giving a lot of personal information here, but one time in the movie theater, Patty and I went to see a movie. She was just sitting there. I totally forget the movie. I have no idea what the movie was.
But she,
what's that?
Woman.
Gorgeous woman. That's right. And so her legs are crossed, and I was just leaning forward in the chair, and I look down, and I see her foot. And I go, hey, foot. And I just grab her foot. I take off the shoe, and I start massaging her foot in the theater. You know? I did that, didn't I? Yeah. And I just, you know, nothing weird. I just massaged her foot. You know, and we're walking out and she's arm in arm with me and she just commented how nice that was. Oh, it's just like so relaxing. I almost fell asleep in the movie, you know. And just stuff like that. You have to be creative. You have to think of what to do. I'll close it with this. How many of you ladies like surprises?
Oh, yeah.
A few. Some not sure. Depends on what the surprise is, right?
What was the question?
How many of you ladies like surprises? Okay. I know Sandra knows this one. She was around when this took place. But for the guys, you have to be willing to surprise your wife with something good. Now, you might say, chocolates, flowers, well, that's always nice, but you need to go a little bit beyond that.
And you might say, well, how do you mean? There was one time where I lied. I'm telling you, I lied. People knew I was lying. I told them ahead of time I would ask forgiveness later. My secretary was in on it at the time. Her name was Jolene. And I told her, this is what I'm going to do. And I planned an entire trip, a getaway, where she had no idea. And she didn't know until after she was sitting in the airport for at least 20 minutes. And I wasn't there. And I turned it out to where my son came down from Lake Tahoe, and I was going to send him off to Hawaii to be a trainer in a restaurant chain, and got him an actual ticket from a travel agent that he could have used. And Mike Pridgen, actually, he took me to the airport. Patty had no idea, and she was mad at me because I had to work that morning at 5 a.m. I had a concrete pour I told her I had to go to. And she was just sitting in the airport, and I grabbed clothes out. I was late, grabbed clothes out of her dresser. I threw them in a bag. I zipped it up. I took it to the airport. I checked it in, and I come running around the corner at the last minute. They're calling for the final boarding, and I got down on one knee, and I said, Patty, will you forgive me? And she was mad because I wasn't there to see off our Sunday. I told her this was a good 3-day mad. I said that, right? Like, this is going to be a 3-day mad because I wasn't there to see off our son. And I said, I'm sorry I've lied to you. Scotty's not going to Hawaii. We are. And she looked at me, and she was in shock. She was actually in shock. She looked at me like, what? You know? And I told her, I said, we got to get on the plane. They're calling for us to get on the plane. And so then our kids were there, our young girls. They started crying, no, Mommy, don't leave. And we get on the plane. And Scotty goes, so I took her for a week, and I was able, I lied, I was able to keep it a secret for 6 months and do that. I don't know if you could do that today, but I only tell you that because I'm not the good husband. It's just, I got to think of something to do to show her that she's loved. And then when she got back, I had a party all set up for her because it was her birthday. It was a surprise party. She opened the door to get the kids, and surprise! Everybody was there. And so it was a lot of fun planning it. And so, guys, if you get into that kind of stuff, it's like, wow, you'd be surprised how much your wife really loves you when you sacrifice and you do all that stuff. Again, that was just a little creativity, and you don't have to take her somewhere, but you need to think of how you can be creative in expressing your love to your wife. And again, I'm not the good example because she'll tell you all my sins, all the things I've done wrong. And so I want to encourage you guys that no matter how bad you think your marriage might be or what you think you need to do, if you just follow the scripture, it will be on the right track if you follow what it says. Now, we're going to close out here. Yes?
I just want to say, when you were in the suitcase, he got everything packed except for you. I was like, and he packed two tons of salt.
I was doing it blindly, just grabbing and throwing in. Yes, question. That's good. And it is a, you know, it's a blessing to overlook. It is to a man's glory to overlook a sin, also to a woman. And so we, Patty and I, are sinners just like you guys. Exactly. And the only reason I believe we've had good success is because we followed the counsel of those who came before us. And we were determined to do so. And we've had arguments just like you guys have had arguments and will have arguments. But you stay on track, and it will turn out well for you. The final thing is we're meeting next week, 6:30 p.m. at Marikiaros, or Marikiaros. And it is the one not in El Cajon on 2nd Street. It is the one in Lakeside at Lake Jennings Park Road and Old Highway 80. It is right next on the same corner as 7-Eleven. You guys, does everybody know where that is? Marikiaros or Marikiaros. Yeah. Yeah, maraschinos. Okay, so, yes. Yeah, what's the address? Okay, she's going to tell you the address.
The address is 14120
Old Highway 80. It's right on the, yeah. Yeah. So it's Maricchiato's. All right. Now, in the future, we may do this again in the future. We may have a couples retreat. I know it's getting late here. We may have a couples retreat that we'll look into, maybe with another church, something like that. But you guys have to start saving for that. You shouldn't go on one of these things and just charge it. Usually it's about $300, $350 plus any food that you might get, or if you do something else, if you go out and see a show or something like that. You want to do that if you can once a year. If you can't once a year, once every other year. So do we have any final questions before we close in prayer? Okay, I want to take a head count too. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 8, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37. So 40-ish, about 40 people, 40 to 45. Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And Father, there's so much wisdom that so many couples have had over the years. And that if we just listen to them and install it, we can have a blessed life. I pray that you would help us subdue our own wills, that we would be willing to conform to your purposes and to your image of what being a good spouse is. I pray, Lord, that if there's anyone in here with a root of bitterness that has taken hold in their lives, that you would release them from that. That they would be in agreement, Lord, that you would take it away. And I pray that those couples that are not in love would be in love, not just go through the motions. And for those who desire to be in love and have a lifelong spouse, a permanent relationship, I pray that you would grant that. And for those, Lord, who would seek to help others and give insight, I pray that you would recall to mind the verses we have gone over. That in the proper setting, at the proper time, it would be like apples of gold and settings of silver, a word that is fitly spoken. So, Lord, for everyone here, I would ask that you would bless them. You would bless their marriages. I pray that you would increase their love for one another. For we know that this is your will, and we know that you are able to accomplish it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you guys for coming.